The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everybody to February's edition of the EvoStick NPL show. And you might notice that there's a slight echo on my voice. That's because we're recording this not in a toilet, as it might first appear.
A changing room.
We've changed venues.
Venue.
Thanks, Roy. We're now recording this just for 1 month only. On a trial period.
Trial basis,
just
yes.
Just to see how it goes. In a pub just up the road from the Magnet called the Heat and Hops.
The award-winning
Heat and Hops.
City, Ben, this will really annoy you, this. Because we're in the suburbs now, according to some, but this is the City Life Pub of the Year 2015, which beat every other pub in the city centre of Manchester, or the Northern Quarter, as Ancoats, as we like to call it, because that's what it actually is, not the Northern Quarter. This is the most popular pub, voted by the public. 38% of people voted for this pub.
It's amazing that half the people around the table actually got lost coming here then, isn't it? Anyway,
well, you need to prepare a little bit better, because the guys from Nantwich and Northwich found it very, very easily.
I found it all right. I just didn't know there was people here.
You live in Stockport, you've got no excuse.
I was upstairs.
He was upstairs. Also, the landlord is a Bradford Park Avenue fan.
Is he really?
Is he indeed? I went to school with Tom Greaves.
What?
There you go.
He never did. He never told me that.
Well, why would he? You support Hyde. What's the point?
I'm getting control of this. So, welcome everybody to the show. That's the calibre of banter that you can expect for the next hour here from the Heat and Hops. Around the table, we're joined by the great and good from the non-league world. We've got Andrew Simpson from the Northwich Guardian.
Hello.
We've got Ian Burke from Radio Manchester. Thanks for the invite last month as well. And 26-0 from Hyde.
Hi, Ben.
Hello. We've got Phil Brennan from the non-league magazine.
Good evening.
We've got Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio.
Hi, Ben.
Formerly of Books TV, now Groundhop TV.
Yes.
Alex McKenna.
Hello, you got it right for change.
Thank you. We've got Swampy from FCUM Radio and Radio 5 Live.
Good evening, by the way, Ben and everybody else.
We've also got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, also that's sponsored by EvoStick. And making, it feels like I've not seen you in years, Roy Sewell is here, non-league wizard and masterful Yoda type character. He's here too. Hello Roy, how are you?
Nice to meet you, it is.
Good. So in the second part of the show, we're going to be dedicating a bit of time to the marvellous FA Trophy run that Nantwich have been on, and that big FA Trophy semi-final coming up in the month as well. But before all of that, we should concentrate on the league. Now, currently sitting pretty at the top and been there all the way through the season, we've got Blyth Spartans. And who wants to start with Blyth Spartans? They're not Salford City and they're not 10 points clear, Birker.
Now, Ben, you should know much better than to listen to me. I am basically a blithering idiot when I've had a pint, even when I've not had a pint. And although, saying that, the season can swing on teeny tiny little things. If Salford hadn't have had a man sent off against Blyth earlier in the season, they wouldn't have lost 1-0. We would have been talking about Salford being top of the division here rather than Blyth. It's tiny little things that have stopped Salford being top of the league and then going on to win it by 10 points.
Wow, Berkey, I've got to say, that is basically better than anything the Conservative Party is discussing the whys and the wherefores of the reasons why they do things. Mandelson would be proud of you as well, I would have thought about that. You're talking nonsense. The little bits of this, little bits of that, Berkey. Goodness gracious. You'd be telling me Hyde are going to win the Premier League next year, next. Or Belper is a place to go to that we've all heard of. Blyth are there for a reason, because I said at the beginning of the season, and I've said it all through the season, they've got the pedigree, they've got the quality, they had the backing of the money they got from the FA Cup last year. They've tweaked the team a little bit, but not a great deal. They've got a real good pedigree, and they're winning games. They had a little blip last week, you know, been beaten for the first time in a little while. But Blyth, really, for me, will win the league, are the best team, place with the best football, and are very, very good. Salford City, yeah, don't get me right, or wrong. However, I think last time I was on this show, I made a bit of a statement.
You did, and I have been mentioning that throughout EvoStick Extra for the last three weeks. That notion that perhaps Salford City, it's not as clear-cut as it might appear to be.
I still believe that they may well drop out of the top five. I said that two months ago. They're on a downward spiral. They got beat again last night.
We'll come to Salford City and that and those final playoff spots in a minute. But let's concentrate still on Blyth. Blyth are now 13 points clear. Behind them is Darlington. We're recording this on Wednesday. They made a hell of a statement last night against Salford. Darlington, they've got four games in hand. They win all them, then they're just 1 point behind. So that's good maths, isn't it? Absolutely.
I think we've got a top two side.
The top two sorted?
Yeah.
And Salford are not in it?
No, we're not.
Oh, right. Just checking.
No.
I think it'll be a title race as well, between the two of them.
And one of them got a little Frickley as well, haven't they?
Yes.
And Frickley, not a bad side. I saw them take points at Salford. They beat Blyth last week. When they turn up Frickley, they're a very, very good
side. They seem to have gone to bits a little bit recently, though, don't they? What's his face? James Walshaw, he's gone to Charlie Aquaforce now.
He was only overload anyway, because he was Bradford Park Avenue.
They've been blunted though up front, haven't they? While he was there, he was scoring for fun, and it seems to have just tailed off.
You look at Frickley at the moment, I mean, they're in 10th spot. I mean, they're not going to be in the playoffs, don't get me wrong, but they're in a position that they've never been in. So they're enjoying the football. They haven't got a relegation battle this year in any way, shape, or form. They can beat anybody on the day, as you rightly say.
They've got home and away against Stourbridge in the next two games.
Good team. I mean, Stourbridge, for me, I mean, we'll talk about them a little later on, but, I mean, they've done a great job for this season. The shackles were unleashed, weren't they, by a certain player, I believe.
Yeah.
And they've shown this season exactly what you can do when you get rid of a top-quality player, and Alan is a top-quality player, and he's shown that...
At Charlie Aquaforce.
Exactly, and he's showing that quality there. So, they've done well.
Anyway, enough about Frickley. We'll come to that in a second. Yeah, so Darlington still in this as well. That's the top two sorted.
Yeah.
Can we have a walk around the table and just discuss? Would you rather have points on the table or would you rather have the games in hand?
Every match,
we always discuss this, and it's like an old friend returning to this subject. Who's got an opinion?
Being someone who's experienced this year in and year out with a certain football club, points on the board's required any time of the season. It doesn't matter where it is in the season, beginning and end, you want the points rather than the games in hand. You want to make sure the pressure's off you a little bit and maybe on the other teams instead. So look at it at the moment, Darlington have got the pressure on him to win every game, to stay in this title race now. We've seen it many times before. Charlie have absolutely binned it last minute in the Premier Division. Hensford Ferriby came down to the last game of the season. Ferriby could have won it like 3 weeks before, but again, through games in hand away to let Hensford back into the title race. So it's never something you want because of the pressure you've got. And Darlington have got to play Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, another postponement a Thursday night as well. Yeah. So it's all on Darlington to keep this title race up. If they slip up once, Blyth just run away with it now.
But Darlington have been investing in the squad a bit, and you know we've Hardy coming in and that kind of thing.
Breaks my heart.
It does break your heart. He's a good player though, isn't he?
He's a cracking player. He can create something out of absolutely nothing.
Who do you used to play for? Hansford, hey, never played for Hansford, did he? It's a team that you don't support. So I mean, you know, calm down, young
glass
man.
Houses. Anyway, moving on. FC United fan.
FC United fan.
Yeah, sorry. So have Darlington got enough to cope with this potential two games a week? Because you know, against Salford,
Darlington have got goals, haven't they? You know, so when they play, they usually score goals, and goals mm-hmm. win games, as they say. So I can see them winning those games in hand. You can, and then the pressure moves back to Blyth slightly, doesn't it?
I don't think Blyth have any pressure whatsoever. They've been there and thereabouts all through the season. Darlington have all the pressure. Darlington could well win all those games, but even if they do, they're still behind. And I just can't see Blyth really. I mean, they had a bit of a blip last week, and I think that was a bit of a surprise for a lot of people. But they've come back strong the week and they've won again. Darlington have done tremendously well to be where they are again, to beat Salford home and away, and you know, be in second spot. I mean, I think for me. But you know, you've got Workington in there as well, and there's everything's so tight, and it's a surprise that all these teams from the North East, with massive travelling, home and away, are still all up there. And you know, it's amazing what an FA Cup run can do, because I think that's where Blyth have been successful with experience. Yes, Berkey, you've got a confused look.
How did he cope with the training? I mean, you've got Hardy, who I assume is based in the Midlands somewhere. You've got Lee Gaskell, who's based around Manchester. How does that work? I mean, they presumably don't go up to the North East every week and train with them, do they?
You've got to do something like that. It's something, I mean, I've been involved in it a couple of times. And what you do is you make sure that they're training at another club, you know, suitable level, obviously, and, you know, come to agreement that, you know, hopefully they don't start poaching them. But if you treat your players right and you're in the right areas in the league, they get the training in, they do the stuff they need to do, and then hopefully, you know, you'll see it on the field of a Saturday or a Tuesday evening, whichever.
And hopefully they can get a lift on a Saturday as well. Yeah. I think that might be a big help.
Well, I don't think they'd be signing if they didn't make that arrangement.
Moving on, Workington got mentioned, but Workington, yeah. I think with the games that they played, it might be a bit beyond them to try and close that gap to Blythe Spartans. But Workington, do you reckon they're comfortable now for the playoffs?
No, I don't think Workington are a particularly great side, if I'm being honest. The work a day, but they do the simple stuff well. But they've had a little wobble recently, and you'd expect that of any team, no matter what stage of the season it is. You're bound to have a bit of a turn off in form, aren't you? But I just don't think they've got what it takes to go up. I really don't. They're kind of the sum of the parts. You know what I mean?
I can't agree with you on that one. What I've got to say, Berkey, is this.
Don't say things for the sake of it now.
I don't think Workington are that good.
They're nailed on.
Pedigree alone from where they came from it years ago. As far as I'm concerned, they've got pedigree behind them, they've got know-how. They've got great. They've got a good pedigree. They've got a good tradition. From where they are logistically, to continually come up with championship-winning teams and teams that play at high levels, then to me that says it all about the infrastructure of the club itself.
And what you look to, I mean, you look to teams in that top five spot who have had the pedigree, who have the know-how, who've been there before, and this time maybe, I mean, and we're going to talk about teams slightly underneath there, I would have thought, because there's one team that at the moment in seventh position that have been in there for the last two or three seasons. However, the teams that are in there at this moment in time, they know how to win games, they know how to get promoted to a degree, or they get to at least the finals and see what happens. But there are some very, very good teams in there.
Apart from dog references, has anyone said anything about Workington that you agree with? Because you were going to chip in then, Simo.
They're absolutely nailed on for the playoffs. I don't think they're in any danger of not finishing the top five. I don't think they can challenge for the title now. But they'll be nailed on for the playoffs. And let's see what we can do. I think Swampy's right. I think they've got that know-how. They'll finish top three, got home advantage in the playoffs. Well, they've got a great chance going up.
Now then, the interesting thing at the moment, I think, is happening between 4th, 5th, 6th and potentially 7th as well, between Salford City, Stourbridge, Barwell and Ashton United. I spoke to Barwell's manager last week. As happy as you would be, and
he's happy as a Barwell burger.
He's happy as a Barwell burger, yes. But who's under the most pressure in that packet? It is Salford City, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. I think so.
Definitely. I mean, the amount of investment that's gone into that club. You know, you only have to see Johnson and Morley after being interviewed after the Darlington game last night. They know they've got to win their next few games. They're under pressure. No consistency with Salford City at the moment. I think that's the big thing. And you've got to be consistent, because those teams up there, they're all quality. You've just talked about Stourbridge, Barwell, Ashton, playing some great football this season. And Salford have got to be on it every game, and at the moment they're not. And that's got to be a worry for the management team there. And you know, the amount of focus that's been on Salford City this year, I think they're under massive pressure there.
There is pressure there, but it's self-imposed pressure. Go on.
I think the one thing with Salford, that where they are consistent, is letting late goals in. Yeah. Awful for letting late goals in. It's all season that. Well, it's not just recently.
The thing for me with Salford as well is, I mean, we know the two managers, and we know the kind of football they like to play. We saw what they did at Ramsbottom. We know the great characters in the semi-pro game. Has a second series that's been now announced. So they've obviously been filming that behind the scenes.
Has T got interviewed, didn't you?
Has that had a detrimental effect? Because I think personally, the onus is not on the managers there. The onus is on the players, because they've got, as you say, an absolute top quality squad. We've got players that have played such a high level compared to anybody else. They should be doing it on the pitch week in, week out. They shouldn't need those two managers to go out and tell them what to do. We saw what they did in the FA Cup. They were superb. They should have gone through to the next round when they played away at Hartlepool. And we saw the quality of the team. Now,
The FA Cup got up for that. Obviously, the two managers did as well. The onus is on all the players. The two good. For me, it's akin to FC United when they first started 10 years ago and not winning the North West Counties in the first season. That's no, the that is the gulf. It is. No, that's the gulf. That's the gulf.
Over the last say month or so, I've watched Salford on about three occasions, and they've struggled with keeping a full squad as regards injury free. That's been a big factor, and the fact is, like, I think that's hurt the style of play. I watched them on Saturday in the last game that they played prior to the Darlington one, and they beat Ilkeston well, but they were tired. They were really tired.
Did they look like a team who were under a bit of fatigue and pressure?
Yeah, they did, yeah. And also, I would say that the football was very, very bitter. Previously, when I saw them early in the season, they were zipping the ball about. They were having options up front where they could actually slide the ball into those options. But over the last, like I say, month or so, definitely over the last... I didn't see the Tuesday night game, or last night's game, but definitely the three games prior to that, they've looked really, really weary.
Isn't that the thing, though? It's basically saying that this league wasn't a given to begin with at the start of the season. There were Blythe and Darlington. So
there's never going to be, because Blythe, to be honest, with the quality that they showed in the FA Cup last year, and also the clout that they've managed to get, you know, through the finances of the television things, had to be, for me, uno numero. You understand that?
I'm from Salford. No idea what you're saying.
Okay. I just can't have it both ways. We sit here and say Blythe and Workington have got an advantage because they've got know-how, they've played at a higher level, they've been in this position before, and then saying Salford, it'd be a failure if they don't go up. They haven't been in this position before in terms of being in a...
Never
been this high before, and... Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think the two managers have managed at this level before.
Well,
either.
Just
so,
one season. Well, half season.
As in, at the top of the Northern Premier League. So I think it is, I think it was a bit unfair to compare it to FC United. I think this is a much more difficult league to get out of. For the reasons we've said about Blythe and working to what you're up against, traditional powerhouses at a slightly higher level. And I think Salford are in uncharted territory. That's part of the problem, in that they're under pressure to achieve, and they're in a position where people off the field and guys in the dugout haven't been in this position before, up against your Blythe and your... Another quick point about Salford,
yeah.
Their head-to-head record against the rest of the top five is absolutely appalling. They've won one game this season against any of the... I quick look today, against any of the rivals in the top five, which is the worst if you do a little mini league.
They're saving themselves for the playoffs.
doesn't look good if you've lost to all the other teams.
Yeah, but they'll be fifth, but by 10 points clear of sixth. So that's the important thing. Speaking of the team in fifth, that's currently Stourbridge. Now, obviously, the main thing about Stourbridge was, FA Trophy. And they, I think it was on the non-league show, they were, Gary Hackett was interviewed, and he said, what would you prefer, playoffs or promotion, rather, or the FA Trophy?
I think I actually asked him that question.
He said the FA Trophy, and lo and behold, they filled us all, and and it was always going to be promotion for Stourbridge. And there.
You didn't ask him the question because it's when I was in.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, I was you were me.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. To the outside.
You have to cut that out, won't you, now?
No, to anyone outside Manchester, you both sound the same. That's the important thing. Anyway. Stourbridge beat Kidderminster Harriers 15 times this season. They've beaten Dover. They've been on.
Let's be honest, who hasn't beaten Dover just yet?
Yeah,
they beat Hyde.
They beat Hyde. They beat Braintree. They've been on. They're a quality side, aren't they, Roy?
Certainly are, Ben.
Thank you, Roy. does anyone think that they won't finish in the playoffs, or they'll struggle to finish in the playoffs?
I actually have them as my dark horses for getting promoted. Well, in fact, they're not even dark horses, are they?
You just wanted to use that phrase, didn't you?
I guess I did, really. But yeah, I'd love to see them get promoted. I'd love to see Salford get promoted.
The thing about Stourbridge this season is they've been really good to watch. There's an enthusiasm. There's a great camaraderie between the players. They've got a guy up top, centre forward. He's 34 years of age. Absolutely should be interviewed him on 26-0. Carl Hawley. He's the reason for me why they're being so successful, because he is instrumental in the way he works with the younger players, talks to the younger players, works with the management.
And they're just, I mean, last season we were playing against them in, you know, in the Northern Premier FC. They were great that when we were down there. They've got a loyal set of fans, and they're just a cracking football club. And I didn't say they were my, at the beginning of the season, that I thought they would get promoted, but we did see, as soon as they played Hyde, and it was very early in the season when they played Hyde, we came on the show and went, they are going to be title contenders, because they play some great attractive football, some great pace, some great quality.
I remember speaking to Adam Parks from Black Country Radio and saying, oh, everyone round the table at the Magnet thinks you're nailed on. And they were downplaying it then, if you remember right.
Yeah, well,
there.
I
and
mean, they're a great, they're a cracking team to watch, you know, the team of the Midlands to watch.
I think Magnet really deserves enormous credit as well, because they got moved into this league last year, so they and they finished in the middle of the table, kind of meandered to the end of the season without apparently doing very much. But obviously he's learned from that, he made changes in the summer, and he deserves enormous credit because he's turned them into a promotion challenging team after having a look at this for one season and then making the changes he needs to make.
I agree with that. I mean, Gary Hackett has done a cracking job there. Really well organised team as well, very fit team as well. You know, if you beat Stourbridge, you work hard, you work for those full 90 minutes. Very impressive. I agree with Swampy. I think Carl Hawley's got that extra bit of class up front. You've got Justin Richards, who's been banging him in as well. But they're just a real good, well-drilled team. And they're a pleasure to watch.
And because of the big games they played this season, I mean, there's 14 games left for them, isn't there? Or 13 games left this season for them. They're going to be able to handle any pressure
in
that comes their way.
Little mini table I did of head-to-heads with the other teams. They've only lost one. So they can beat all the others.
They've got Sean Geddes back as well. I mean, he seems to have settled back in now, doesn't he?
And then there's
just nice. I mean, all the guys, teams in the top five. I mean, the one thing is we say sometimes, well, they're there from the hard work and just the fact that they're getting results. But every team from 1 to 5, you have to say this season, are all decent footballing teams. They've all got something about them. You know, you might say working team out of the three, out of the five, are not necessarily the most footballing team, but all of them have got some good quality about them.
Can we spread it out to the top seven at least?
No, we're going to bring them in, but I'm saying the top five currently, where they are, they're there because they've been playing some good football. You know, it's not all about just getting a win. They're playing entertaining the fans, and also the crowds within them five teams prove that, because they're getting big crowds week in, week out.
We can spread it to the top seven, Ben, but I don't think that Barwell are going to be in there. So spread it to the top seven with the exception of sixth, because Ashton United are in with a decent shout.
Definitely.
Martin Pilkington is flying at the minute up front for him. He scored a brilliant goal for him against Hyde on Saturday. It was just, if you'd have seen it in the Premier League, it was a top draw finish.
Phil Brennan, your thoughts? You're shaking your head like some kind of Churchill dog.
Adam Morning was the outstanding player on the day.
He was fantastic on the left flank.
I mean, Pilkinson's goal was a nice finish. And to be fair, Hyde's keeper had an outstanding game, and he did everything right. And all three goals, he couldn't do anything with him. But Ashton are just a machine, I think.
Is there no one around this table expecting Ashton not to get into the playoffs this season? Because they've got this. We mentioned Stourbridge having this cool nerve. Ashton United, they do this every year, don't they?
The metronomic.
He had that little tinkering spell, didn't he, a few weeks ago, where he was moving people about, and he seems to have got people in places now.
He's more editorial, isn't he, as well? You know, there's a little, you know, so the lad can play a little bit, you know, in the centre of the park.
Well, he was doing the Dale Johnson role on Saturday, and if Dale's fit, or not suspended, as he was on Saturday, you know, Dale's going to go first.
Yeah. The one thing that they have really, they've got the games in hand, and they're on a bit, they've got momentum going. They know the playoffs well, they've done very, very well the last three or four seasons, and therefore you couldn't expect them not possibly to be in there. But I think they will probably take the place of Salford City.
Salford who drop out,
Salford drop out and Ashton go in.
To be fair, their benches, I mean, we were doing a commentary Saturday, weren't we? The bench was just like phenomenal. There were players on that bench who would be playing in the top five sides.
Marshall
just comes on.
But the biggest thing is that the way they're sort of driven on by the likes of Philo on the field and Azza, you know, on the line, jumping up and down. but the thing is, like, you know, they're a driving force, like, you know, in the way they encourage the players, whether it's be a little bit brash, like, you know, in the way they do it. But it has the effect, like, you know, and it just gives them that little extra man. Everybody was talking about Jono and Bernard at Salford, like, you know, having the same sort of effect, but
Phil,
I think
the advantage of being actually on the pitch,
on the field, and to me that's a big factor. That it is a big factor.
The other factor, though, to be honest, is the pitch.
Yeah,
yeah. That favours them. They're used to it. They can. I mean, the thing is, I've been there many times, and they said, "Oh, they play football on that pitch, regardless what the surface is like." Ashton always play football on the pitch with intensity, with good pace, lot on the deck, and then they use Johnson when he's playing up top, bring it down, play the ball left and right, they score goals.
That's my biggest. That's my biggest advert for not training on a 3G pitch, because it doesn't give you that Hurst Cross experience. Anyway,
just a quick one. What it does show is the quality of this league. You know, we're struggling around this table to pick the top five, because there's 6, 7, 8 teams there. Real high quality, and it's been great to watch.
We can tell you here now which will be there.
Yeah, no, he tried, didn't he? He tried.
I'll tell you what, we'll be too busy at Wembley, boys.
It's exactly right what it says. They say down to 7, but you know what? In the last 10 games, there's always one who'll come out of the pack and they'll win games.
My money's on Frickley. I've been saying Frickley since...
No, you were saying Buxton.
Oh well, that's a good point.
The Boston Tourist Board is a winner. Well, they've got one. The Bakewell. I mean, they've got a team, and he's mentioned Bakewell. It's something like Barlow. Bakewell, that's the place. Oh, damn!
There is one that always comes out, and you know, I look at it, and I mean, I've seen Ilkeston. I looked at them on Saturday, and they're just a team of young boys. They haven't got the clout or the experience to handle that sort of thing. I look at Buxton, and they fire up, they fire cold, and they fire warm quite a lot.
I can't see them being part of it.
I
look at Frickley. Frickley. Frickley for me are a team of battlers. Frickley for me are a team of battlers. Nantwich, if they hit that little silver streak that they did have previously, they could well do that little bit of getting in there. And Rushall is another one that I'm looking at.
So what you said is basically anyone.
No, working it out. Those two, Rushall and Nantwich, if they hit a little run, could cause an upset.
Now, can I just mention Jimmy Ginnelly at Barwell? He said that he was. I can't remember the exact word. It might have been flattered or honoured to be in with the likes of Stourbridge and Salford City and Workington and Ashton United. Barwell are the proper plucky upstart in this group here, and there's no expectation on them, and Jimmy playing down the expectation on them. Doesn't that make them slightly dangerous when it comes to Salford? Or
well, they're a team that can play in two or three different ways, and that, you know, that's quite hard to get your teams to. In the respect of if you need to get in there and really, really kill a game off and basically hurt a player, in a professional sense,
sure,
they can do that. But once if they score first, boom, they're just the free flowing. They play some really good football, but they can stifle teams. You know, so they will stifle the likes of Blyth. They'll try and stifle Darlington, Workington, Salford. Start them kind of teams that try and play the attractive flow. They'll stifle them to a point, and then they go and score. And then all of a sudden they start playing their football. They did it. I mean, I saw it last season and the season before on 3 or 4 occasions going,
is this the same side?
Wow. Whoa. I mean, we got kicked off the pitch by them, and they know that themselves. They kicked us off the pitch. However, I've seen them after that. I went, wow. So they've got 3 or 4 strings to the bow. Now, that's what you need to get into playoffs and to win the league.
How are you doing in the mini league?
Not in it. Oh. In top 5. I think it would be an amazing story if they got promoted. Because they've built incrementally, haven't they? They've kind of improved a little bit each season. They've not one of these small teams that we see sometimes go through and have just spent a load of money at it. They've kind of slowly progressed each season they've been at this level. So I think that adds value to what they've achieved.
I think they've built their entire season based on burgers and how many burgers.
it's worked.
I mean, it has, because they are apparently the greatest burger.
You wouldn't know, would you?
I mean, I wouldn't know, but they are the greatest burger in the whole of London.
Does anyone think they're not? Exactly.
If I was going to say anything about Barwell,
I wonder
whether or not the squad is big enough in depth and quality. I think once they get a couple of injuries, they'll suffer, as they did in the away game against Salford when they got smashed.
Okay, and
on that note,
that is the end of part one. Coming up next, we're going to be interviewing the chairman at Nantwich Town and talking everything about the FA Trophy match. At time of recording, we don't know who Nantwich have got in the semi-finals, because that match is actually taking place tonight, is it? That's why the interview with the chairman is actually taking place tomorrow in the morning, because then he'll know what he's talking about. And then when we come back, we'll be discussing Nantwich Town.
So, Saturday the 12th of March, we'll see Nantwich Town take on Halifax in the first leg of the FA Trophy semi-final. It's a big game, not just for Nantwich Town, but for the Evo Stick NPL. And joining me now, with all this pressure on his back, as well as ticket allocations and that kind of thing, it's the chairman at Nantwich Town, it's Tony Davison. Hello, Tony, how are you?
Good morning, I'm very good, thank you.
So this is a very exciting time for the club, I'd imagine. How does it feel to get through to the semi-final, especially with all the matches that Nantwich have played this season?
I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, we've had a very good season, better than we expected. We were on an up curve anyway, but to get through to the semi-final of the trophy is a tremendous achievement for Phil and the lads. They've played really, really well, and you know, beating now three teams from higher leagues, including Dover, who were you know, the top of the national premier, pushing for promotion, is an absolutely fantastic achievement.
It really is, and even if you go to the preliminary rounds, beating Salford, for example, and Kings Lynn, it's been an epic FA Trophy run for the club, and if you manage to get to the final, then in my humble opinion, not to put pressure on you, but you deserve to win it with the games you played.
I think you're right. I mean, I'm not looking that far. I think we've got a very tough challenge against Halifax. Home and away, it's going to be a big ask for the guys. On any one-off match, I think we can beat anybody. So to some extent, the final's easier than a two-legged semi-final.
If we just go away from the FA Trophy and just talk about this season more generally for Nantwich Town. Last season how could I put this? A bit disappointing, I'm going to suggest. But Phil Parkinson, when we spoke to him, there's a 2-year plan in place. This is the first year of that plan, and this season has just been superb for Nantwich.
Yes, I mean, he's Phil's exceeded our expectation of him by a hell of a long way. I mean, you know, when if you go back just over a year ago now, when he took over, we were flirting with relegation, and we would have a difficult season. We were down in the bottom six. And not playing well, and Phil's arrival has just transformed the place. He's brought some heart and soul back in the club. We've changed our player policy to try and attract more local players. You know, Phil is an Nantwich legend, and he understands what's required. And he's built a really good, solid, cohesive squad, mainly with you know, people from not too far away. They're a young team with some experienced old hands in there as well, like Steve Jones. But, you know, we've got four or five, 18, 19-year-olds. So he's put together a really good professional squad.
I think when we spoke to Phil, it might have been, you've been on that many FA Trophy specials this season. They all roll into one, Tony. But I think we talked about the fact that Crewe Alexander's next door, and they've made use of the youth of North Staffordshire and Cheshire, and why not Nantwich Town get involved in that kind of thing? And it's very exciting. And speaking of exciting, 71 league goals this season as well. So it's not just like a solid team; they're entertaining as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And altogether, I think we've scored 104. You know, so in all competitions, if you want to watch goals and see exciting football, get down to the Weaver. You know, it's like you say, one of the highest scoring teams in the whole of UK football at the minute. And, you know, another five on Tuesday night against Bamber Bridge, who are doing well in the league below us. But really entertaining game.
Absolutely. Just to say about the league, this weekend you've got that trip away to Darlington.
Yes.
For a long time, Nantwich have been at top of the table at some points and in the playoffs, but there was a lot of games in hand that everyone had around you.
Yeah. It's
I'm not going to suggest it's a tall ask to get into the playoffs at the moment, but this game against Darlington, if you to make the playoffs this season, it is a pivotal match, I'm going to suggest.
It is. It's a true six-pointer. I mean, Darlington are going really well. They've had a few, you know, setbacks lately, a bit like us. But But yes, if we can come away with you know, a good result at Darlington, it gets us in the hunt. And you know, I mean, we're still fighting on three fronts.
Yes,
we're still, apart from the trophy, you know, we're now in the quarterfinals of the Dudeston Cup, and with a good chance of winning that. And you know, clearly, I know Phil would love to get into a playoff spot.
Well, Tony, I think it's been a brilliant season so far. Like you say, you're in the quarterfinals of the Dudeston as well. And the match against Bamber Bridge, despite the fact you played some youth players, it shows that the quality is there, and you
exactly.
can compete on all three fronts.
Yes.
Very exciting times for the club. Next season, just to go one stage further, where do you see Nantwich Town in the next couple of years or so? Is it to progress to the Conference North?
Yeah, we've made no secret of the fact as a board of directors that you know, the initial objective this year was to stabilise the future of the football club, which we've done, and then to look at building a longer term plan around the current squad that we've got to get us into the National League. And you know, we've got the facilities, we've got a superb ground, we've got the facilities, and I think now we've got the manager that can do that for us, and certainly we're building a playing squad that we've already demonstrated can match some of the best in not just the National League North, but National League Prem.
Yes.
So, you know, clearly, you know, whatever the outcome of this season is, we'll be planning to push on next year. Certainly, you know, I think this club now has the potential to get into the National League Premiership. It might take a few years to do that, but with the groundwork that's been put in, certainly in the last 12 months, both on and off the field, we certainly are well placed to be able to aim for that objective.
Well, the facilities at the Weaver Stadium, they just speak Conference, to be honest. It's a quality stadium.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Weaver, it's hosting a big game Saturday the 12th of March against Halifax. Tickets, the ticket arrangements are still being sorted, but if you live in the...
I can confirm that we've agreed all that this morning. The general ground admittance will be pay on the day. The only reserve tickets, ticket only, will be the main grandstand, and the tickets for that will hopefully go on sale tomorrow.
Well,
I can get them sorted. But it's reserve seating, ticket only in the grandstand. Everything else is pay on the day.
So if you live in Nantwich or in that mid-Cheshire area, South Cheshire area, you've got really no excuse not to go to this match. It's going to be an epic encounter and an entertaining one, as Nantwich Town have proved throughout this season. Well, Tony Davison, chairman at Nantwich Town, on behalf of all the listeners, we wish you all the best of luck over these next two legs, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much, and hopefully I'm speaking to you again in a couple of weeks' time, looking for a trip to Wembley.
Oh, you wait till the Evo Stick Extra show if you make the final. My God, we're going to be all over you.
Great. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Tony, and all the best. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Welcome back to the... Oh, I was going to say the magnet. Where are we?
We're at the award-winning Heat and Hop.
I want to say Herbert's Hop.
You can say that you want. We're at the award-winning Heat and Hop on School Lane. Six key keg beers, two cask ales, and over 300 bottles of beer.
We should say Phil Brennan from the Non-League magazine has now left the building. He could only stay for 1 hour, and apparently the first part of the show lasted too long, apparently. That goes to show you, dear listener, how hard I work editing, because that would be seamless, that first part. Anyway, so the Non-League magazine is out now. And it's cost £3, and it's available from all good non-league grounds who stock it.
And it's got Tom Denton.
And it's got Tom Denton on the front.
There you go.
The non-league magazine. So that's available now, and it's got an interview with Tom Denton and loads of stuff, including, as I was just going through it, it's
is
got
there a
stuff.
Is show in there, by any chance?
It's got stuff. I saw Tividale. Tividale's in there, of
is
Division
there
1
this
South.
There, then? What about Rushall?
Rushall are in the magazine too.
I explained to Bernie the reason why he should go to Rushall and commentate, because it's the only place where
you get sandwiches.
The conservatory is 10 foot above the world.
I am going to drag this kicking and screaming back, because this is only part two. It's going to be a very long evening. Now, Johnny, this is your moment. I've dedicated a whole 20 minutes to this, where don't swear, where you can literally go wild in front of all your peers.
Like Bow Wow Wow did in 1981.
Firstly, How was that match against Dover?
Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, great performance. To beat a side that are two divisions above Nantes, which are not just two divisions above, but, you know, fighting for promotion to the League Two as well. Every player within the whole squad performed on the day. And to come away with a 2-1 victory, yeah, we got the winner in the injury time, Liam's shot and header. It's just fantastic. There was just under 900 in the ground on the day. The crowd, the whole town got behind Nantwich Town. You know, we've been playing attractive football all season. I keep saying it, we've scored 104 goals now in all competitions. And we were well worthy winners. The Dover Twitter feed, you know, they said afterwards, you know, you deserve to win that game. We really did play superb football. And, you know, it's great. It's great for the town. It's great for me. It's great for the Evo Stick Northern Premier League that we're just showing that we can compete against these teams that are above us. And I think on any day, 90 minutes, yeah, it's 180 minutes for the semi-final, but Nantwich have got a great chance of getting to Wembley. I mean, how good is that?
Now, at time of recording, we don't know who you've got in the next round. So at this point, I'm just going to do a bit of post-editing where I'm actually going to say, well, Nantwich, you're at home in the first leg. Correct. Against
FC Halifax Town.
And that should be a tough game.
It is. It really is, though. You put me on the spot, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I think they're quite capable of doing it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing against a form team, in all fairness, Ben. However, Nantwich have been on a slide in the league, but this is their competition. This is Wembley beckoning for them. So, you know, I think they're going to do them. I mean, it's going to be a big scalp, but if they can do it, fair play to them.
I think the thing is with Nantwich at the moment, we've got no real injuries, so that's really important. So Phil Parkinson, the manager, has done a great job, along with Neil Savell, the assistant manager at the club. He's going to be picking from a real strong squad, and I think that means everything. These boys, they're all really young. It's a really young squad. What Phil keeps saying in the post-match interviews is he's building this squad on hunger, on young lads who want success, and it's plain to see. They're really up for it. They're a really fit team. There's a lot of quality in there. As I say, we've got five players who have scored 75 goals between them this season. I mean, outstanding. Also, an issue was at the beginning of the season was we were conceding quite a lot, but more recently we had Ben Harrison and John Moran in the back four playing really well. And, you know, I really think Nantwich have got, I keep saying it, but I think we've got a fantastic chance of getting to Wembley. And when you get to Wembley, who knows?
And it's a remarkable achievement for a club at Step 3 to get to the semi-finals. I mean, FC came close last year, and
Chasetown.
Burscoe was the last game, wasn't it?
Northwich got to the quarter-finals 4 or 5 years ago, something like that.
But now their goal is getting to Wembley. I mean, that will be a great day out. We know there's going to be the FA Vars and FA Trophy on that same day. There's going to be twice as many people at Wembley. You know, and the pricing, we have to remember the pricing this time has been done tremendously well. It's really worth going. So
frustrating, all that. I mean, you can turn it on the big occasion, but when it comes to the league, you're not necessarily turning teams over that you think you maybe should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I've obviously got to know Phil really well this season, and he wants to win every game, Berkey. Every game he wants to go out. And that pretty proved it last night in the Dudeson. You know, to put out a good team last night and got another victory and through to another quarter final of a cup. Every game he goes out, he wants to win. You're right on your point in terms of since Christmas we've lacked a bit of consistency, certainly away from home. I think the Matlock game, we needed to win that to really, you know, if we're going to stand any chance of getting to those players. I think it's going to be really difficult now. When we talk about going on a run now, we need to go on a long run to stand any chance of getting there. And that has been. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to remember, Nantwich were struggling last year and they've really turned things around.
Well, that's
playing great football, quality to see.
That was the point the manager made, wasn't it? This season, it wasn't necessarily, the expectation wasn't to make the playoffs, it was just to have a better year than last year. And then next season is the time when Nantwich are going to turn it on. And it's quite scary for anyone in the NPL next season.
I think you're right, but I think knowing Parky, knowing how he's driven, he will fight tooth and nail, and he'll expect his players to do the same to the end of the season. He still thinks that he'll still believe that they can get into those playoffs. I know it's going to be difficult. You know, you've got your cup runs are going as well, and but they've got a decent squad as well. They've got a decent squad. They've got Cosgrove in from on loan from Wigan at the moment, who scored last night. They've got some real good players in there.
Matty Kozlov still doing all that, because he was being looked at by league clubs, weren't he?
Matty Kozlov, ex-Stockport. Yeah, he's really. He's just come back from injury, but he's been playing the last few games. He's been doing really well. He's only 23 still. Scored a number of goals. He scored 13, I think, this season. Which from midfield, and that's where we've been scoring the goals this season. It's not just been from the centre forwards. Our top scorer is a lad called Elliot Osborne, middle of the park. He scored 19 goals. He scored 12 from 12 from the penalty spot. I mean, whatever you say, that is a phenomenal start. And he's brilliant. He's deadly from 12 yards.
Quick point on Parky, which you've not touched on. He knows what it takes to get to Wembley, to play at Wembley, and to win at Wembley. And that's going to be a massive asset in the semi-finals for him.
So good luck.
It's still a tough game, though. That's a big team to play.
It is a big team. And obviously, we wish Nantwich all the best in that first leg against
Halifax Town.
And in the second leg against that same team. McKenna, you got that? Are you sure? Yeah.
Just to say as well, just backing up your point there, it's 10 years since they won the FA Vars. So, you know, is there writing on the wall?
Has there been a team who's won the Vars and the trophy?
Good question.
Get in touch and let us know. We'll say it on the MPL Facebook group. Anyway, and on that note, it is now time to draw a line under part number two. When we come back, we're going to be discussing relegation.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So, welcome back to the Heat and Hops. Round the table, we've got everyone who features in the little blurb thing at the bottom of this episode of the MPL Facebook group and on Audio Boom. But it's now time for it's the job that no pundit or presenter wants to discuss. But
should we go to the pub?
I'll do it.
We're in a pub. We have to discuss it, and that's relegation. And we've lasted up until the month of March before we finally said. I think we're finally committing people now to relegation, I think.
Harsh. Ramsbottom United's greatest cheerleader on around this esteemed table has got to say that Ramy are now seemingly doomed. Sorry about that. They've got a lot better, actually, over the last few months. We've mentioned that a couple of times before. But, yeah, it's too big a mountain to get over now, I think. And, yeah, Ramy are down. As I just can't see Colwyn Bay getting out of it. I just can't see it.
Colwyn Bay, they've had some decent results, haven't they? But they just keep.
Everyone else has.
Yeah. Well, that's whatever scene. Whenever they're getting the results, you've got the likes of Marine Stanford winning them games at the same time.
It's that time of year where usually the teams at the bottom start to win games again, and obviously, bottom seven or eight now are winning.
I remember one weekend where five of them all won.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Colwyn just can't seem to get that break. Okay, they've got decent dudes from at the moment, but. And maybe they're starting to plan for next season at this moment in time. We're in the space of a month to sign the striker and released him at the same time.
Colwyn Bay is a
lovely place.
It's a travesty, isn't it, of what happened to them, because where they got promoted and they've been in the Conference North for a number of seasons, weren't they? Colwyn Bay are doomed. They really are. They are unfortunately doomed. Their form spikes.
They've got a game in hand. And
on what?
They're 5 points.
On what, Ben?
A game in hand that they're going to lose.
On what, Ben? They've got two games in hand on Stamford. They're on 30 points.
It was starting to pick up wins at home.
We'll come to Stamford in a second. It's Mickleover Sports is the one.
Ramsbottom are gone.
Does anyone? I mean, it's Colwyn Bay. They're still.
There's a glimmer.
Now, Mickleover Sports for ages. I think since September's show, we were saying, keep your eye on Mickleover Sports. They played loads of games, and now they've been swallowed up by...
Well, this makes a mockery of Teagot's thing that it's great to have points on the board. Because they've had the points on the board all season. Everyone else has caught them up with the games played.
No, Berkey, clearly they never had the points on the board. That's why they're bottom. We have points on the board all through the season. We had all these points at the board, and everyone else
played 35 games, and everyone else had played 21.
Yeah. Did anyone expect though the likes of Whitby Town and Marine and Stamford and Grantham all going on decent wins and swallowing up Mickleover Sports during this period? Because
not the way
that's quite not in the way it's panned out. Not all at the same time.
I think we're all guilty of saying the bottom four were the bottom four, obviously, the last couple of weeks. Maybe, yeah. Well, there we go. Let's just admit it straight away. But Michelob are going to decide who's going to go down this division. They have got to play everyone in that bottom eight yet as well. Yep. Some majority of teams twice. So Michelob have still got the opportunity to save themselves. If they start, obviously, start getting beaten, they deserve it to themselves, let's be honest.
They've got a great running, really, yeah, haven't they?
Then there's Whitby Town. And Whitby Town, they had a great December, didn't they, and January.
They had a good form, but they're still four bottom.
Lost the last four.
I think with Whitby Town, over the years, the teams that actually have to make that journey to Whitby Town are the ones, really, that they've got to beat. And, I mean, you can go right down the line. At home, they do bring out some decent results. Yeah. And it is basically because of the sort of
trip.
Length of the journey. Yeah. Yeah, prior to the season starting. And I said the M&S teams. And
oh, didn't I?
And I think we've got three around there. And I think two of them spots will be taken up by one of those teams.
Whitby, Mikey Roberts, for me, he's right up there with the top strikers. I mean, look at his goals. I think he's got 18, hasn't he, this season. But he's a quality striker. They've had, yeah, you're right, in terms of recently the form's dipped off, but they beat Nantwich at home. They had a decent run, and I also feel with a quality of that, you know, a striker of that quality, I should say, I think they've still got a chance of staying up. I really do, and I echo what everyone says around the table. What a great club, what a great away trip Whitby is. We all love that trip, and we want them to stay up.
Now then, everyone last month, I think pretty much, if you're a Colwyn Bay perspective or even a Ramsbottom United perspective, you've got to remember last month, this next team I'm about to mention were doomed. Totally written off round the table. Stamford, they've had a hell of a month. And we interviewed the manager, was it last week or the week before? I think it was last week before. And they're quite buoyed, and they're taking every game at a time, and there's acknowledgement that obviously the home form was bad, but that's not the case anymore, is it?
You know, they picked up that win against the mighty Tigers, and all of a sudden that gave them the confidence to go and beat everyone else in the division, and they've gone from second bottom to just outside the drop zone. And fair play to Stamford, if they get out of this is going to be one of the greatest escapes in NPL history, I think.
Does any?
I won't go as far as that.
Consider where they were.
Yeah, they were
a couple of months ago, three months ago. 3 months ago, they were right down there with Ramit, and they've just pulled away. They've
not
done
just
brilliant.
3 months ago. We're talking August preview here, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has pretty much written off Stamford all season, and look where they are. They're like you say, they're doing really well. Marine have also. Hit some form, and they're getting themselves out of it as well.
They've also been very used to, in the last couple of seasons, being at the bottom or there or thereabouts. We know they were reprieved last season, and it was Wayne Arbin that were relegated. And there's something about Marine again. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit more biased simply because they're a fans' own club as well, and they're working a lot in the community, and you want them to do well. No disrespect to anybody else. I mean, Hyde United are as well, and I don't want them to get relegated. I'm only jesting there. I love going to Hyde. I mean, the worst thing is, I mean, you know, the easiest bit is talking about the teams at the top. You're talking about teams at the bottom. You're thinking, well, you don't want anyone really to go. There's not a team in this division.
I would say that the consistent teams are consistent, and the consistent at the top. And the thing is, what's happened here is they've hit a little bit of consistency, but over the season they will not sustain it. And the little result run that they've been on, I think, will be short-lived. And you'll find that those three teams, Grantham, Marine and Stamford, all slip back into what they were previously playing.
I should say about Marine, though, I think they should be much higher than they are. I mean, seen them the times I've seen them this season.
Everyone, McKenna's got something to say.
Marine's got to be careful not to go the same way as Kendall. In fact, if you go back 5 years, those two teams were regulars for the playoffs, and Kendall's fallen dramatically, and now Marine's gone the same way, and they don't want to end up in the same position as Kendall, where they're Division 1.
Yeah. Just quickly on Marine, after reporting on the club last season that was in a similar position to them, and you're talking about philosophy and how they're approaching it, I think Marine's way is better. I don't think they're going to panic because of what they went through last season. One thing I saw following them week in, week out, the closer they got to the bottom, the longer they couldn't get out of it, Witten definitely panicked, and that definitely affected their performances.
Well,
on the
with
pitch.
Witten, it was a precipitous plummet, really, weren't it? Rather than
it
just
was,
a steady
yeah.
sort of being near
and
the bottom
it,
four.
Isn't that what Grantham's doing at the moment?
No, because they've been quite far down the table the
no,
whole time.
They got up to. Yeah, didn't they get up to 14th at some point? A few months.
Been higher.
Yeah, they're in 18th now. Yeah, but Witten were in 5th.
And just to close off the relegation picture and this show, incidentally, as well, just to let those people who are flagging at this point on the table. Hyde United last month, someone was worried for Hyde United.
Very worried.
Now,
I weren't the only one.
Birke, don't do this old kind of thing. Are you still worried? Or?
No,
you're all right now.
No, I'm not. A couple of wins. Against the odds, really. I mean, Whitby 1-0 down at half time, went on to win 2-1, and same again on Monday night against Buxton, where Super Scotty Spencer, from 25 yards out of absolutely nowhere, 2-1 win again, 1-0 down at half time. It seems to settle the nerves a little bit, Hyde. And one thing about the Tigers, for their running, there's 12 games left to go, Ben. 8 of them are at home, and that is what's going to see Hyde safe this season.
And just to say as well that at this point, are we signing off Skelmersdale for the season? That's all right.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, Skelmersdale United fans. That's you done for the rest of the
well,
season.
What the hell's are we? Are they dropping like a stone? No.
Ben Hales is doing okay for him. So.
I think let's be realistic. You've got to look at the points that the teams at the bottom four have got compared to those teams on 40, 42, 43, 40. Yeah. Then those teams, if they can't go down from that position, surely. It's got to be a nigh on impossibility. Well,
now, that is the end of the EvoStick NPL show for February. My apologies to the following teams: Frickle Athletic, Buxton, Sutton Coldfield Town, Matlock Town and Hales Owen Town. Your ears have been welcomed, but sadly, at this stage of the season, we didn't really have much to say. As a reward for your patience, next week on EvoStick Extra, we're going to do your fixtures first, and I might actually get some of the managers on as well. That is the end of the EvoStick NPL show for February. My thanks from the Heat and Hop, our temporary home. Thank you to Andrew Simpson from the Northwich Guardian.
Thank you.
We'll be hearing from you on the Division 1 show. Ian Burke from 26-0 and Radio Manchester.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you.
Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio.
Nice one, Ben. Cheers, mate.
Alex McKenna from Ground Up TV.
It's always a pleasure.
Roy Sewell.
Yeah, good evening.
James Hayes from the EvoStick Facebook group.
Thank you.
The NPL Facebook group, that is.
Facebook.
Which you can get involved with at
Facebook.com/groups/NPL, on Twitter at the NPL group. And if anyone wants a football club, please get in touch.
And just to say, this is actually Swampy's last EvoStick NPL show.
I bet it's not, though, is it?
I think it possibly is. It possibly is. Let's say it is. It's the last one Swampy's doing for at least a couple of years because he's off to China. So as a reward, we've cobbled something together and we've got 2 cans of Fizzy Vimto as a reward for your efforts. Thank you. Thank you.
I just like to say, unaccustomed to speaking as I am, how long is it showing on for?
It depends how much.
I'd just like to say, actually, it's been wonderful to have been involved, and even though that the team I follow are in a different division than the Northern Premier Division, both Premier North and South really do show and advocate an absolute quality of football. It's possibly the best football I've seen. As FC United have been in it for 7 of those years, out of the 10 have been in existence. But on a serious note, it's been great. The people, the clubs, the fans, the supporters, and everything around the Northern Premier League, from people like Alan Alcock through to Mr. Harris, the league chairman. There's something about the Northern Premier League. I mean, I go all over the country, primarily into the north of the country rather than the south, but even down the south and semi-pro football is fantastic. Go to the northeast and all the northern teams that are playing semi-pro football.
Jarrah
Roofing is one of them, yes, that's right, that's quite true. South Shields, North Shields,
all the Shields.
And Spennymoor and the like, you know, all doing very well. But the north, all the Shields, yeah. It's a great division. Some great people, and I've been coming back. Don't get me wrong. I mean, this is not a go. I'll probably be here next month anyway. I'm just building it up. It's been great. Loved it. Loved every minute of it. may it long continue, because I think this, as a podcast, is getting very well known. I think the league enjoy it. I think fans enjoy it. The banter is tremendous, and we have some good crack around the table. And you know, the thing is, we have a laugh, but we are passionate and serious about our football clubs, and passionate and serious about the Northern Premier League, because it is the best run. Ben, take care.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.